Today's scripture reading is from Jude, verses 17 to 19. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. This is the Lord's word. You may be seated.
If you were here with me last week for Jude verses 5 to 16, you'll recall a couple things. One is that Jude really likes lists. He lists things, a lot of lists, a lot of examples. And you'll also recall that Jude referred to the false teachers who had infiltrated the church he was writing to as these ones. And we see a slight shift here as we arrive at verse 17 from these, referring to the false teachers, to you, the members of that congregation. And this is why I divided up our passage this way as I was planning this sermon series through Jude, this new section that moves from the warnings of judgment against those false teachers that Jude is concerned about to encouragement for the faithful believers in the church and how they go about contending for the faith with the false teachers in their midst. So last week's passage was kind of a negative passage, and this one is a positive one. We learned in verses 3 and 4 that all of us, not just me, not just the elders, all of us are to contend for the faith. We're all to be concerned about doctrine. We're all to be well enough studied in the Word to be on guard against the false teaching that comes not from the outside, but from the inside, from within the walls of the church. Now, this is interesting to me. I absolutely believe that the greatest danger the church faces is from the false teaching on the inside, but I also think that there are outside forces that are also pushing their way into the church all the time. For example, there may be a day soon in our country when the cooperation between the civil government and the church on the issue of marriage has to come to an end. Because the government will want to decide and mandate who religious institutions must marry. But without question, that is not the problem that churches have primarily faced over the last 2,000 years. The primary problem is with people advocating false teaching from within. Preachers primarily, of course, but elders, teachers, even entire congregations, advocating for changing the views of the church to conform to the ways of the world. Today, Jude prepares his church and he prepares us to be on the lookout for false teaching from within our midst. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you've given your word to us. We know that it is our greatest defense and our greatest encouragement against false teaching. And it not only corrects us and reproves us and rebukes us, it also trains us up in righteousness. It equips us for every good work. And so we pray, Father, that as we have heard your warnings and as we hearken our ears to them, our hearts to them, that we would also now hear your positive exhortations, your positive encouragement, and not simply be hearers, but doers of the truth. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. To be vigilant against the false teaching in the church, Jude asks us first in verses 17 to 19 that John just read to remember the warnings that are in the Word. He asks us to remember the warnings in the Word. In other words, Jude is reminding the believers and us today that they've been warned about the coming of false teachers. The first thing that came to mind to me was Jesus himself in that tricky chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus is speaking about the future, and there in verse 11 he says to his disciples, many false prophets will arise and will lead many astray. This is not the only call to vigilance about false teaching that we have in Scripture. It's all over the place in the New Testament. Just a year ago, we were in 2 Timothy about right now. And Paul gives us two examples in 2 Timothy. First, the opening chapter, or opening paragraph of chapter 3, but then also this one at the beginning of chapter 4. I charge you, he's talking to Timothy, of course, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Do you remember that? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Some of you might be thinking, well, how big of a deal is this? I mean, of all places, shouldn't the church be safe from that sort of thing? Well, it should. But as we've seen throughout church history, inside the church is where things kind of always begin. We'd like to think that we would be safe from error in church, and you might be tempted to believe that Westkirk is different. That sort of thing happens in other churches, whole denominations even, but it won't happen here. And I don't believe it is happening here. But I'm here to tell you that it could. So don't trust just in me. Yes, I'm doing my best to be faithful to God's word, but we all need to reaffirm our commitment to study the Bible so that we are all on guard, all of us on guard against false teaching. Westkirk is not the exception to the rule as much as we might think it is. So be vigilant. Contend for the faith by being a student of the Bible yourself. In verse 19, we get a description of what false teachers look like. They are the ones causing divisions, Jude tells us. Think about this now. We are told if we remain faithful to the Bible that we are out of touch or that we must get with the times. But we are the ones remaining steadfast. It is those who advocate for change that are the ones causing division, Jude says. They are worldly minded, in verse 19. False teachers tend to be spiritual, put on a spiritual air about them. But they are the opposite, actually. They are worldly. When following Jesus Christ means to be counter-cultural, not worldly. Some preachers on TV and even in our community will tell you that God wants you to have all that the world offers. That being wealthy is a sign of blessing, and we should all be after it. We call this the prosperity gospel or wealth and health teaching. It's all positive. Never any talk about sin. It's all encouraging until you can't keep up. Until you don't attain to the wealth, until you or somebody you know gets sick. We are not promised wealth and health in the Bible. It's false teaching. It's a false gospel. False teachers are also, Jude tells us, devoid of the Spirit in verse 19, meaning that they claim to be super spiritual, but as we talked about last Sunday, the fruit of the Spirit over time, over the long term, is not there. It shows them to be what they truly are, false teachers. All this is to say that Jude is telling us, as relevant for us today as for those who originally received his letter, that those who come into the church and call us narrow-minded and bigoted because we remain firm in our understanding of the word are likely to be the ones causing divisions. And we need to know this. It doesn't mean that we're right on everything. It doesn't mean that we have a corner on the truth. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't be teachable. We should be teachable. There are always things in the Bible that we need to learn, to readjust our thinking, to change our minds about. But we must remain firm in our convictions and able to defend them from the Bible itself. It is God's word. As we arrive at verses 20 and 21, Jude asks his readers to lean on the love of God. To lean on the love of God. This is a call to discipleship, a call to spiritual growth. I read a sermon on this passage last night before bed, and the pastor gave what I thought was a good illustration. He said this. He said, you know, some football coaches will say the best defense is a good offense. And the idea being that your defense can't get scored on if it's not on the field. If the offense is out there doing what it's supposed to do, the other team's offense can't score on your defense. And that's something like what Jude is saying here. One of the best ways to defend against falling into false teaching is to attend to the positive things of the Christian life. Spiritual disciplines, reading the word, prayer, doing these things. Jude gives us four ways here in these two verses, 20 and 21, that we can grow, that we can abide in, or that we can lean on the love of God in our lives going forward. Verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourself up, one, in your most holy faith, and two, praying in the Holy Spirit, three, keep yourselves in the love of God, and lastly, four, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Four things there. To build ourselves in our most holy faith is just what we've been talking about since verses 3 and 4, to know our Bibles, to know our theology, to know it well. I hate to say it, but evangelicals are known these days for not being biblically literate. We don't know our Bibles well enough. We need to know the Bible. We need to know our theology. We need to know the gospel. Our faith is founded upon the authority of God, that the Bible is actually his message to us, that it is inspired by him, that it is sufficient for us. It is all that we need. We don't need any new revelation, it tells us. The Bible is sufficient. You know you're dealing with a cult when they have another revelation. That's a one part of the definition of what a cult is. They have other books, other authorities. Teaching in the Bible is true. It is without error. Jude is telling us that our desire should be to lean on the Bible and the love and the mercy and the grace that he has extended to us by giving us his word, that we might know him and make him known. This is how we grow throughout our Christian lives. And to his point here, this is how we resist false teaching when we hear it. We know it well, the real thing. Amen? And listen to me, it doesn't matter how old you are. Children, you can read the Bible. You can study it. You can know it. We teach catechism here. Many of you grew up learning the catechism. It was drudgery at the time. But I bet if you go back to the old Heidelberg or the old Westminster, it's going to come back to you quickly, and there you will learn good doctrine that can help you discern between good and false teaching. Seniors, some of you wonder what service you can be to the church once the age and the physical limitations of your age restrict what you can do. You lament the things you can't do anymore. Well, let me tell you, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not about what you do. It's about who you are in Christ. That you have trusted in him by faith alone, and you have turned from your sins in repentance. You can pray. You can pray for me, for this church, and you can be students of the Word, that you might even be on the front lines of helping us as a church resist false teaching. What could be more important than that? Jude also calls us to be praying in the Holy Spirit. And by this he means to rely on the power of God. Pray before you read the Bible, even. Ask him to help you understand it. Ask him to help you persevere in the faith. You know that's what perseverance is, right? It's the Holy Spirit persevering for you. Christians cannot lose their salvation, but it's not because we're just like strong enough not to lose it. That somehow we're immune to when bad things happen. No, it's because the Holy Spirit keeps it for us. That's what we mean by persevering grace, perseverance of the saints. People of prayer are not easily swayed by false teaching, Jude is saying. And then he says, keep yourself in the love of God. We do this by cultivating relationships with one another, with other Christians. I was talking to a guy this week, and we were kind of confessing our sin to one another. We were encouraging one another. And I said to him, listen, you're not going to be able to do this if you're not here. What is keeping you from being in church more consistently, from building new relationships, from getting involved in the lives of other Christians? I can't hold you accountable all by myself. Love is not an intangible thing. We feel it. We experience love, and we do that best when we are loving one another in relationship. It's why we gather. It's why we're a part of the body of Christ. And lastly, he says, we must lean on the love of God by growing in hope. I thought that was kind of interesting, and I wasn't sure what it meant at first. Well, what is our hope? We know what our hope is. We are hoping in the second coming of Jesus Christ. We are trusting that he is coming back to bring about justice in the world, and we believe, because of what the Bible teaches, that he is. We're counting on it. We need it. The world needs it. Do you see it there? 20 and 21, we are to be waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. When you became a Christian, that was not the end. If it was, you would have instantly went poof into the presence of God, but you're still here. Sometimes we think the ticket to heaven is all there is in this life, and then we must be going about convincing as many people to take a ticket. But that's not the end all. It's just the beginning. Our conversion is just the beginning. We live our lives, and we live them for the glory of God, bearing witness to the truth, showing love, and waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. It's not to say that you don't have it, but the fact that we're all here also testifies to the fact that we don't have it all yet. We are waiting either for the Lord to take us home or for Jesus to come and God to come back to be with us. Listen to me, if you don't have Jesus, then the end of the world as we know it is not something you should be looking forward to. But if you do have Jesus Christ, then you are indeed waiting for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Praise God. Wait for it. It's coming. And he will make all things new. Speaking of showing love, verses 22 and 23, and have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now we got to keep our focus on the matter at hand if we're to understand these three things in verses 22 and 23, what to do with false teaching. Here in verses 22 and 23, Jude tells us how to deal with those who've been influenced by it. First, we're to have mercy on those for whom the false teaching has had an impact. We're not to ridicule them. We're not to write them off. We're not to gossip about them from behind their back. But we're to extend mercy. These are not those who have bought it completely, but those who are doubting, those who are confused, they're struggling with it. We are to be loving to those ones and look for occasions to direct them to the truth and encourage them in the truth. To those who have bought into it completely, the false teaching, Jude says we are to snatch them out of the fire. They don't know what they've gotten themselves into. These people have been misled and perhaps have embraced a false gospel. A false gospel does not lead to a true eternal life. They need to be snatched out of the fire. They've been misled. Honestly, these folks tend in our day to kind of move on. But if they are here, we need to move quickly. That might mean getting some help and alerting the elders and the staff and all of us prayerfully coming alongside people to show them from the scriptures the truth. And lastly, here in verse 24, we have those who have gone too far. Too far to bring back to the truth. Jude says, show mercy with fear. When we show mercy with fear, I hate to say that that means we're having pity on them. I don't know if that's quite the way to put it, but we give them up to the Holy Spirit. And we are We're emotional about it. We're mercy with fear. We're broken up over the fact that they are lost. The Holy Spirit has to deal with them now. And so we lament what has happened to a brother or a sister, but we entrust them to the Lord. We have people come here and promote false teaching now and then, and it's one of the most painful things that I've ever experienced. No, I'm not aware of anything like that going on now. I remember one couple, and they were very gracious. They realized they were out of line with our teaching here. They came and met me in my office and told me all about it and said, we're going to have to go. That was gracious. And there was the guy who was working behind my back and sneaking books into the library and giving them to people and talking about his pet doctrines constantly and berating those that didn't hold his views. Eventually, he began to tell others in person and on social media that I was just not a competent pastor. One of the most painful experiences of my ministry life. More action needed to be taken to show him the door. This is a good word for us today. No, it's not because we have false teachers in our midst right now. There is no passive agenda here in my part in selecting the book of Jude this day. But that doesn't mean the Word of God is not important for us anytime. And so the calling for all of us here is to guard our hearts. Guard your church. Care about doctrine. Contend for the faith here at Westkirk, as well as for the church universal and for your own family. We are called to be theologians, to know our Bible, to know our doctrine, to be able to defend it, that we might know false teaching when it comes. Let's pray. Lord, those who know you well and love Jesus, we do not desire to accept a substitute gospel. We know that there are various things in your word that honest, true, and sincere Christians disagree about. That's not what Jude is talking about here. He's talking about a false gospel, something that requires something from us in order to be saved, other than full faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. And so, Father, we want to lean on you in the love of Christ to help us to grow in your word, to live a life that is characterized by faithful prayer, to grow in the hope that we have in your coming. Those who know the love of Jesus will be merciful to others, and that's what we want to be like. And so grant us, O God, that we would remember and grow and show mercy for the sake of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. People of God, receive this benediction from Jude 2. May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Amen.